Now it's time for the Coaches Show with Sterling head coach Clint Wiley on WSHS Sterling High School Radio with your hosts Rob Strauss and Tad Kozineski. And welcome to another edition of the Coaches Show right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. Rob Strauss, Tad Kozineski, and joined, as always, by Sterling head coach Clint Wiley. Coach, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
No problem. And talk a little bit about last game, a 40-6 win. That game was really never really in doubt throughout most of the game. It was a double-digit score at halftime, and you guys scored early and often, starting with the opening kickoff.
Yep. I think our kids came out with the mindset that's been our theme all year. So we got to finish. We got to play for four quarters. You know, dwelling back on the last year, we didn't finish for three games. So that's the thing we've been harping on, preaching day in and day out about finish, come out, play first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, and then always finish in the fourth quarter. And it started right off the bat with the kickoff return. You know, Richard had a nice run, but it took 10 other guys to do their job. And that's the one thing that was nice. It was great to start the 2013 season with a 90-yard kickoff return.
Special teams in your career here at Sterling have been really, really good. Tell us about who runs the special teams, if you have somebody who helps you with that. How does that
work out? Well, first of all, I mean, Ted, my it's a funny story, but I coached college football for 16 years. My first 8-9 years, I never really dealt with special teams at all until one day I got brought into the head coach's office and told me our special teams need to improve and you're going to be in charge of them. And that offseason, I think I visited about 8 different colleges and 3 NFLs and tried to pick the brains of every special teams coordinator I could sit down and talk to me. It gave me a couple minutes. And from that point on, that's when I really learned how important special teams are. And if you want to win a championship, your special teams got to make the difference because there's 3 sides of the ball. You know, there's the offense, defense, and special teams. And we always talk about those phases, but we never really work on the special teams, places I've been before. And then when I took over the special teams at Villanova, it's one thing I learned from Dave Wannstedt. Dave Wannstedt, he was the head coach of Pitt, and I sat down with him, and he talked about if you want to win a championship, you got to spend time on special teams. If you meet offensively and defensively, you better meet special teams. If you practice offense and defense, you better practice special teams every day. And from then on, I mean, I really learned a lot from him and some other coaches that have been involved in the league. A great friend of mine, Darren Rizzi, is the head special teams coordinator for the Miami Dolphins. And learned a lot. He was at Rutgers at the time. And so that philosophy that I learned from those guys, I brought here, and we spend a lot of time on special teams. And our kids understand the importance of special teams will help you win games. And we do a pretty good job of coaching them up on showing them. It's interesting. If you go back and look at a lot of the past Super Bowls, past championship games, how the difference of 1 to 2 points could be the outcome. And it comes back to special teams. We won the national championship in 2009. We won by 2 points. They missed the first field goal attempt, Montana, and we missed an extra point. And there's your 3-point swing right there. And it was the difference of winning a championship and not winning a championship. But our kids have bought into that philosophy, and we've worked really hard on it.
How tough is it to you know, like everyone wants to handle the ball. Everyone wants to tackle. How tough is it to for you as a coach not only to figure out who are the kids that deserve, you know, who should be out in special teams, but then motivate them not only to make blocks but to make tackles? How difficult is that in this scheme? Because it is so underemphasizes your indicator.
Without a doubt. But I think that's drilled from the head coach down. I mean, our best players are going to play on special teams because that's where some coaches feel. And I used to be a part of this before I took over to special teams at Villanova. Our best players always rested on special teams, whereas, you know, it's a chance to get a backup here, get a younger kid in experience and all that stuff. But with my past experience, I felt that this is important for us to maybe get advantage on special teams. And our kids have bought into that, just like what I learned from Dave Wannstedt. I mean, he was the head coach of Pitt, and that's what he preached all the time, and our kids understand. And that's what I've been preaching since I've been here. We're going to win a championship on playing really good defense, really good special teams, and we just got to maintain the ball and, you know, the clock on offense. And but it's all about the kids, you know, the kids buying into it. And that's the one thing, you know, you mentioned about touches. I mean, that's important with our team. I think we have about 5, 6, 7 guys that can take, every time they touch the ball, can take it to the house. I mean, one thing you notice about last Friday night, I mean, our team's speed is pretty good. And so as a coach and as a players, the players buying into the team concept, not the individual, you know, hopefully it's going to make our job a little bit easier. And that's a credit to our kids being buying into the team concept.
Coach, one of the things that we talked about in the pregame and before the start of last week's game was the big question marks on who's going to replace the roles of the seniors. And we talked about this in the last coach's show. You guys definitely answered that question in the first play with that big kickoff return by Richard Carter. But you had guys like Devon Tucker, Zaire Gibson. Those are the guys that filled in the holes for the people that left. Talk a little bit about their role in that game and how much of an impact that's going to make for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tremendous credit to those guys of buying in, doing what we're asking them to do. And, you know, they've worked hard in the offseason to get bigger and stronger. Each one of those guys you just mentioned probably put on about 10 pounds of muscle, and they're getting stronger and they're getting faster. And, you know, the thing we preached all offseason was we were losing seven good football players. Who's going to answer? Who's going to fill in for those seven solid football players? And, you know, the other night, I mean, you saw Devon Tucker. He played one snap for us last night. And I mentioned this before, and I'm going to keep mentioning because he understands team. Devon Tucker was a running back, but last year – he played guard the entire year for this team, and it was nice. I mean, he's had a high ankle sprain. We've been, you know, he finally came back. We let him play one snap the other night. He took the toss, and he went, what I think it was about 85 yards for a touchdown, and he's a great weapon to have. Zaire Gibson had a great night. You know, Zaire's doing a really good job of hitting the hole, and he's loosened the hips, and he got a chance to make some people miss. He had a really nice night running. And Richard Carter is very elusive and fast, and Richard Carter has the ability to be a big-time player here. And as long as he continues to mature, stay in the philosophy of our scheme, and do what we ask him to do. I mean, but you had Cordell. Cordell had a nice run of 15 yards. Vermeer Jenkins is out there carrying a ball for 10, 12 yards, doing a great job of blocking for his teammates. And, you know, and credit goes to the offensive line. We got a lot of guys returning from last year, and they're doing what we're asking them to do, and they're making those holes for our guys.
And you mentioned Devon Tucker with a high ankle sprain. We saw him rip off that huge run to put Sterling up. And then we didn't see him again for the rest of the game. Yeah. What is his status as of going into this afternoon's game?
Hopefully he's going to be a full go. You know, we had a high ankle sprain to Cedar Creek scrimmage. So he's been out for about 2.5 weeks now. He's been walking around the school in crutches, you know, to hopefully get him back to 100%. But it's still bothering him. I mean, probably – hopefully that bye week going into Haddonfield, he should be 100% by then. But, I mean, his 80, 90% is pretty good, you know, and you witnessed that the other night when, you know, just that toss, and he was able to, you know, take it 85 yards for a touchdown.
Marvin Jones, I want you to talk about the factor that he now is going to have in the team, because I saw as you guys were getting down to the scoreboard end of the end zone, I believe he ran two or three plays his way, and he caught one of them.
Yes.
But what I think is going to be very important, you're going to have coaches that are looking at the tape that are going, uh-oh, we got to cover this guy. And it's going to open up
right. If
you want to do things between
without
the tackle.
A doubt.
Talk about
a
that.
A fine example of that is Marvin's been working hard. He's a kid who I'm really excited. He's out for football. He's been a basketball, volleyball star here. He's out his senior year, and he's really enjoying football. He's tweeting all the time how he loves football now, which is great. You know, Marvin had two great scrimmages. The other night, he didn't have the best game. Between him and Matt, they just weren't on the same page with their route running and the ball being where it needed to be. But one thing was credit to Marvin. He went across the middle, caught a slant pass, got tackled at the 2-yard line. And then you're exactly right, Tad. When we're down in the red zone inside that 10-yard line, teams got to start worrying about a 6'5 receiver there. That's given us the luxury to be able to lob it out there. Watch Pittsburgh Steelers the other night. They got a receiver from Kent State who's 6'5 basketball player. They lobbed it right up to him. You know, so, and if you notice, right before half, we were trying to score. We threw two balls right to Marvin. Well, Haddon Township started adjusting. They put two guys over there, and then we came right back hitting them, and we ran the ball right off the tackle where Zaire Gibson scored, because now teams are starting to adjust, knowing that, hey, there's a weapon out there that's 6'5". So he's a very nice surprise to our offense, and hopefully he continues to grow as a football player.
You brought up your quarterback, first time over center. Yeah. A lot of pressure in a game, even though it's just it's a team of you know, a 500 team or so you're playing. How would you look at it for his first game as a varsity football quarterback?
I thought Matt did a great job. And I mean, and Matt's very coachable. He's a hardworking young man, and he's a team player. And all we asked Matt to do is manage the game. And I thought he threw the ball extremely well the other night. I mean, his first pass was dropped, but it was right there. You know, the running back should have caught the ball. Don't quote me, but what was he, like 5 of 10 maybe, something like that? Okay. And all we've asked him to do is manage our offense and be about 500 throwing the ball. But I thought he had some really nice balls the other night, and hopefully he grows from week one to week two. I mean, that's the biggest thing we preach is you see the development of a team from week one to week two. The thing I'm proud of week one, we hardly had any penalties. We had one delay a game, and that was on me as the coach, and two was late in the game we had a kid sack the quarterback and got a face mask. But that's the thing that impressed me the most was our kids were focused from, you know, the opening kickoff. But they came out, no penalties, and they played really extremely hard. And that's all you can ask for in our high school kids, is to play hard.
Yeah, and Ted, you kind of stole my thunder there a little bit with the question. But nothing really flashy out of him. Nothing that you're putting in the papers about. He seemed very, very calm and relaxed back there for a first-year starter at the varsity level. And he did a fantastic job, like you said, managing the game plan that you guys put into place.
Without a doubt. And that's credit to him for how hard he's been working this summer. You know, you work hard in the summer, you work hard in fall camp, and then hopefully Friday nights or Saturdays is going to be a lot easier. And that's what I saw. I saw a young man that was comfortable back there managing the game, and he threw the ball really nice. And that's all we're going to ask of him this year.
Looking back at the first game, when I say surprises, let's just call it positive surprises, some things that you saw that I didn't know this guy could do this. I didn't know he was quite able to get that.
Joe Matchy is a young man who's from Stratford, who went to Gloucester Catholic and then decided to come back to Sterling. He was a young man who should be a wide receiver, who's a very athletic young man, who's tough. But we need some help at the tight end position. We asked Joe, I said, will you play tight end for us? Without any questions, he went in and played tight end. We moved Magnus, who was planning to be our tight end. We moved him to offensive tackle. So there's two young men to sacrifice in their positions, selfishly speaking, for the team. And Joe Matchy went in there, and he blocked, and he did a great job. And, you know, for a tight end, he's going to be a nice weapon to have because he has really good hands. And I just mentioned Magnus Connor, who also played really well at linebacker for us, but he also started a left tackle for us, who's in the past has been a tight end. Once again, doing what we asked for the betterment of the team. And both of those young men went in there on Friday night and did an exceptional job blocking for us. You know, and that's what we're asking. Vermeer Jenkins stepped up, blocked really well. One thing that I'm proud of is, Cordell and Zaire, when they're not carrying the ball, they're blocking for these guys. And that's the thing you're looking for. Like we always say, if you want to carry the ball, you got to block. If you're not blocking, I'm not going to let you carry the ball. And that's just the philosophy, and these guys have really bought into it. Jargen, our kicker, I thought he did a really nice job coming out, kicking. His kickoffs were really good. And then his extra points. I mean, he's a young man who has a strong leg, and it'll be a nice weapon for us to have throughout the season.
And one other thing before we get off to our first break here, Coach. Come out of the halftime, you guys are up 33-0.
Mm-hmm.
Came pretty much in hand at that point. Went on, obviously, to win 40-6. But the Haddon Township went on almost a 12-minute drive.
Yeah.
Started deep in their own territory, brought you guys all the way down. And talk a little bit about that defensive stand a little bit and how that helped you guys going forward defensively. And they had this huge drive. It's very rare that you see a drive over 8 minutes, let alone 12 minutes.
Right.
Kept your defense on the field for majority of the third quarter, and they still got no points out of it. They had that big goal line stand.
Right. Good point, Rob. And the thing is, like I like what you mentioned. You said how that defensive stand is going to help this team grow. And that's what I was thinking about as a coach. We know on third down, we preach all the time, you got to get off the field on third down. Well, that drive, we didn't really get off the field on third down. Now, normally I would probably take a timeout to let our guys rest, give them a blow and all that stuff. But I was sitting back as a coach just letting these guys, let them play itself out. Let them handle the situation. Don't take charge. Let's see these guys grow. Because I mentioned last week, we're replacing 8 guys on defense. My number one concern coming into the season is not really our offense. It's more of our defense. And we had some young guys playing last night for the first time. We had Golden Stewart playing as a junior for the first time. We had Sammy Messina, who's a true freshman. Well, a true freshman. He's a freshman. Going back to my college days.
Yes.
He's a freshman who's starting for us at linebacker. And we didn't have Devon Tucker playing our middle linebacker, who's a 2-year starter. So we had some young guys. And we had Hunter Bird starting a corner. So we had some young guys. So I wanted to see these guys grow and mature and see how they handle that situation. So just like anything else, it was more of a bend but don't break. And then once their backs were up against the wall, they did a heck of a job standing up. But normally in those situations, I would have called timeout, give them a little blow, talk to them, see, you know, go through their thoughts. But I just wanted to see how they mature and how they handle the situation. And I thought they did a good job, and I'm hoping that's going to help us continue to grow throughout the season.
And I don't think really Haddon Township had really any other option but to go for it.
Yeah.
It was four down territory pretty much from there on out to try and get back in the game. Obviously, they weren't able to. One last thing. The Richard Carter run out of the end zone on the punt, I think on that subsequent drive to towards the end of the third quarter, ball goes pretty much over his head. He one-hands it, I believe, with his left, with his right hand, and able to scoot out of the far end of the end zone and down 70-plus yards and gets you guys a first down and keeps the drive alive and potentially keeps some more points off the board. Talk a little bit about his athleticism, both offensively and, I guess, that's considered special teams-wise.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the biggest thing is with Richard, we have him back there punting for us a little bit because of what you witnessed the other night. With him, he can make something look really bad. I mean, something that happens bad, he can make it look good. You know, he saved Tony's rear end there because the high snap jumped up and got it, whereas a chance for Haddon Township to, you know, get a safety there. And Richard made something bad turned out to be pretty good with that run. I mean, that's just his athletic ability. I mean, the kid could be very, very special as long as he continues to mature and does what we ask of him to do. But him being a punter back here is really going to help us because teams are always going to have to worry about, is he going to punt the ball? Is he going to run the ball? Is he going to throw the ball? So that's just another nice weapon to have, somebody who can punt. He's not the best punter. I mean, if you remember last year, we had Marcus Taylor who had an exceptional year punting. I mean, he averaged over 40-some yards. That's where we're hoping we can get Richard at. We like to have, I like to have a punter there because we like the rugby punt, which is basically rolling out to your right. And basically just like a goalie on a soccer team. As you're running, just kick the boom the ball. And it gives us a chance for coverage-wise to get down the field. And I like to have an athlete there because just in case something goes wrong or somebody misses a block, that young man's going to be athletic enough maybe to make somebody miss and maybe be able to get a first down out of it. But Richard had a great night.
All right. And, Coach, thank you very much for the analysis of the for the first game. We're going to get off to a very quick break.
Can I just say one thing
absolutely
real quick?
Go for it.
Since we're talking about last week's game.
Yeah.
Tony Pileski got the South Jersey Touchdown Club Offensive Lineman of the Week. And that's a credit for, you know, we had over 300 all-purpose yards up front. But Tony Pileski was nominated Touchdown Club Offensive Lineman of the Week. I just want everybody to know.
Nice work. Nice work all the way around. And we're going to go to a quick break. When we get back from the break, talk a little bit about the upcoming game this afternoon against Haddon Heights, for obviously first road game of the year, and we'll get your thoughts on that right after the break. You're listening to The Coach's Show right here on WSHS, Sterling High School Radio. We're back right after this.
Attention all Sterling High School community members. If you are a resident of Laurel Springs, Magnolia, Hinell, Summerdale, Stratford, or if you have children who attend Sterling High School, the Sterling Board of Education invites you to enjoy the recently renovated state-of-the-art fitness center at Sterling High School. Hours of operation for the fitness center are as follows: Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 5:30 a.m. through 7:30 a.m. Tuesday and Thursday, 7 p.m. through 9 p.m. If you are interested in using the fitness center, please send an email indicating what day and time you would like to attend with your name, address, and phone number to Mr. Matt Sheehan at msheehan@sterling.k12.nj.us or call 856-784-1333, extension 4701.
Man, there's nothing good on the radio anymore. It's the same thing on every station.
Hey, not every station's like that. I just started following At Nights Radio on Twitter. They tweet news about the Sterling community and they have their own radio station.
But what makes them different?
Well, the whole station is run by students.
That's awesome, and I love Twitter. I'm going to go follow At Nights Radio right now.
Follow At Nights Radio on Twitter to receive news about sports, music, and everything Sterling.
And welcome back to The Coach's Show right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. Rob Strauss, Tad Kozineski, and Sterling head football coach Clint Wiley. And Coach, we've got a big contest coming up in a couple minutes here. First road contest of the year against Haddon Heights, a team that is... it's played as tough in years past, and you're looking at your first road contest this year after a very decisive victory over Haddon Township.
Yep.
What are you looking forward to in this afternoon's game?
I'm looking for our kids to come out focused like we did last week against Haddon Township. I hope our kids take the field with a demeanor and an attitude. I mean, this is a team that we need to get. We haven't beat this team since 2006. In my last two games against them, we played them tough, but we haven't finished. And going back to our theme, we need to finish. So it's been drilled into our young men that they need to come out right off the bat and set the tone on the kickoff or the kickoff return. And recall, you know, make sure that we're playing for four quarters, because this team here, I mean, we owe these guys. They're well coached. They have a good football team. But like I stated earlier, we haven't beat them since 2006. And this is one team that we've circled since the summer that we need to get this game.
We haven't seen him this year. The fans haven't seen him. Last year, they're one of the most dynamic offenses we have ever seen. I know they graduated a ton of players. Can you break it down from your coach's standpoint? Who should we as fans watch for when they have the ball and when we have the ball on defense? Who are some of the numbers we should look out for?
Haddon Heights is very similar to us last year. You're exactly right, Tad. They had one of the best offenses in our conference, but they graduated a lot. They graduated nine starters on offense, and they also graduated nine starters on defense. So they were hit hard by graduation like us. So it'll be an interesting matchup today. But they're young. I know they're well-coached. And they're going to do some nice things. I mean, you're going to see some very similar looks that you saw last year when they're on offense. You're going to see two receivers on each side, maybe three and one, shotgun. The only difference is last year they had the back to the side. Now it looks like they're going to that pistol formation where the back will be right behind them. I think their offensive line is big. I think their best player is number 20, their tailback. He's very very athletic, and then they have a wide receiver. It's very fast, number 10. I think Miller's his name. So, I mean, they could do something, and they got a young quarterback that's a junior who, from what I hear, is a very like a gym rat type of kid. He has a good arm, throws a ball, but he's always studying film. I mean, football is his life. And he throws really a nice ball. So, excuse me. So a lot of it's going to come down to us, make sure alignment assignments, make sure an open space, because that's what they're trying to do is get you open space, try to get those mismatches. We just got to tackle really well. We got to be disciplined like we were last week of staying on sides. And then once we get to the quarterback or to the ball carrier, we got to tackle really, really well. On defensively, they're going to be a four-man front. They're going to play a 4-4, cover to three. They lost the big defensive tackle, offensive tackle last year who signed with the University of Delaware. Like I mentioned earlier, they're young up front, but they'll be playing with four defensive linemen up front and then four linebackers. I think number 20 is their outside linebacker, is a pretty good player, and their middle linebacker, number two, I believe his name is Pierce, is a pretty good football player inside. And then they're led on the back end, their defensive backs, by number 10, Miller.
Not to mention, you're on the road for the first time. Mm-hmm. At a tough road opener last year at, I believe it was Haddon Township, or Haddon Heights.
Was it Haddon Field? You
no, we opened up with Haddon Township last year, and we struggled.
We struggled a little bit. A lot
night
of
and day from Friday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, completely different. Completely different. Not a lot of penalties, as you mentioned, in the last game on us. So a much different discipline in the last from one year to the next in the season opener. How do you think your team's going to respond on the road after pretty much blowing out Haddon Township? Mm-hmm. What's the mood like in the locker room?
I'll be good. Our kids are feeling good about themselves, but it's our jobs as coaches to make sure, hey, here's reality, okay? We're okay. We're not as great, and we're not a 40-6 team against Haddon Heights. You know, I mean, we got a really good team that you haven't beaten since 2006. You know, we need to stay focused. I mean, this is our time right now to grow from week one to week two, and this is going to be a physical matchup. Rival schools right down the street from us. And this game means a lot to us and our program, like we talked about. I mean, our kids understand this game's important. You know, when you haven't beaten a team in a while like we haven't, you know, that's the things we preach about. Same thing when I took over about Collinswood. We haven't beat them in a while. Same thing. Same thing with Paulsboro last year. Like our Paulsboro game last year, that's the way this game is tonight for – I mean, today for us. You know, I mean, we need to get them. And we haven't been able to get Heights yet. We haven't been able to get Haddonfield and West Deffer. We were able to knock Paulsboro off last year. So Heights is the next one on our schedule, and this is a big one for us. I mean, these kids understand how this game is for us since summertime. I mean, this is one we circle. It's time.
For our fans listening, getting ready for the game, what are the keys for a Sterling win overall?
Well, overall, I mean, it goes back to us. You know, exactly, don't turn the ball over, no penalties, and then third down. I mean, I'm going to preach this all the time. Long as we don't turn the ball over, we should be all right. If we can create a couple of turnovers, we'll be all right. No penalties on our end. And then third down, we got to continue drives on offense on third down. And on defense, we got to stop them on third down and be able to get off the field and get the ball back into our offense. And then we got to be able to tackle well in space and go out and play sterling football. Don't get wrapped up in all the other stuff, being away, big rival game. Just focus on us, just like we did on Friday night.
In your team, in your time here at Sterling, mm-hmm. we're basically a night team that plays night conference games.
Yeah.
What are some of the differences you see in your team? Because I know football is all about routine.
Yep.
Now, here we go. It's not a Friday night. Mm-hmm. We got an extra night to sit around. We got to get ready, get out there early Saturday morning. What differences in the past have you seen in your team, good and bad?
Great question. I mean, the one nice thing, this is a 1 o'clock game. You know, hopefully we continue to educate our young men. It's, you know, Friday night, I hope they all go to, like, the. There's a big game Friday night. Or last night was a, Haddonfield Woodbury game. You know, I mentioned to kids about going to go watch them. Or you got West Deptford Lindenwall. And then, you know, get off your feet and rest. That's what we've been preaching since Thursday. Thursday and Friday, get off your feet and rest. What I'm worried about is just, you know, our kids coming, what time they get to bed on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have our pregame meal at 9:30. We're going to leave, you know, 11 o'clock and, get focused, go through our pregame. Try to treat it the same, even though it is a Saturday. One thing I like about the Saturday game gives us coaches and players an extra day of preparation. So another day to make sure we fine-tune everything and go through, you know, the assignments that our kids need to be able to execute so we can move the ball and also stop them on defense.
Do you see, like, again, because they're young men,
mm-hmm.
Friday nights, the lights, the excitement – does it take a little bit more to get them started when it's a Saturday after? Have you noticed that in your past years?
Oh, yeah, definitely games? Have. And I'm
do you have. What do you have to do to get them? Come on, guys. I know it's not Friday, but
right.
Let's go.
No. It's more of a I agree with you, Tad. I mean, it's big Friday night lights. I mean, our kids are into that. Saturday, we played Haddon Township. We've played a Woodbury Saturday game. I'm sorry, Paulsboro, my first year. And I'm trying to think who else. We had another Saturday game I can't recall. But it's tough. It's tough. But I think a lot of it's the maturity of your kids mm-hmm. and them understanding. No matter what time the game is, what Friday or Saturday, you know, you got to be ready. And once that ball's kicked off, you got to be ready to play football. And that's the thing we got to continue to instill in these kids. And you treat it just like a payday. We talk about payday. Like last Friday was our first payday. You know, we got paid. Saturday morning, it's not Friday night, but it's Saturday at 1 o'clock. It's our second payday. And hopefully we get paid.
Speaking of that extra day of preparation, Coach, you mentioned that, you know, that one of the luxuries of having that Saturday game is you get that extra day of preparation. Are you planning on making any changes in your offense from week one to week two with Matt at quarterback? You mentioned he only had about 10 pass attempts in that last mm-hmm. game. Is that more of a situational thing, depending on down and distance, or are you guys going to try and see what he's got under center and passing the ball as opposed to the rushing game?
No, we're a run team first here. That's what we're trying to establish, a toughness. We got some good athletes. We're still going to ask Matt to manage the game, and we're going to ask him to throw the ball anywhere from 10 to 15 times a game. And, you know, depending on the course of the game, the down the distance and all that stuff, we may ask more of him. But going into this game, our game plan is for him to throw the ball 10 to 15 times a game, and hopefully he's over 50%. And that's – if we're running the ball well, it's going to make his job a lot easier. If we're struggling running the ball, it's going to make his job a lot harder.
All right, Coach, thank you very much for your time. Best of luck this afternoon as we get ready for kickoff right here on Sterling High School Radio. Any final words of wisdom?
Thanks. I really appreciate everything you guys do. And best of luck to everyone. And go Knights.
All right, Coach, thank you very much. Tad, thank you for joining me as always. We're getting ready for kickoff right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. And we're going to take a quick break and then just get ready for kickoff with myself, Mr. K, and Mr. Schultz. You're listening to WSHS, Sterling High School Radio. We're back right after this.